going through menopause, I just, you know, they say what happens is, you know, you get the wise woman comes out. And so you know that it's just not healthy for you to be living this way, to be having these emotions, this flood of cortisol day after day after day.
Are you in your 20s at a job you really don't like? Are you retired and bored? Are you stuck in a rut and can't see a way out? Fact is, the biggest barrier to getting onto the next curb is you. That's right. It is never too late or too early to be who you want to be. My name is Dee Sterling. I'm a businesswoman, a presenter, and we are back with our new show, Second Carvers. We will reframe familiar problems and let you take control. Are you a second carver ready to be ignited? Hi, everyone. Welcome to Double Espresso with Dee. My guest today is the fabulous Bobby Parker Hall in Portland, Oregon. How are you, Bobby?
I am fantastic. It's Memorial Weekend, and we're at the coast, and it is cloudy.
Oh, my God. Well, hopefully the sun will arrive. Well, yeah, well, I'm sitting in central London, and it's splitting the trees. It's so warm, unusually today, so I'm sending you the sunshine. So, Bobby, you are, you know, you've been in fitness and wellness for many years. You're a guru in this space, and really, you know, you've become a fitness entrepreneur with various platforms that you deliver via Modern Bodies Fitness, which we'll come on to. But, you know, you really inspire so many people to be in the best shape of their lives for the rest of their lives, right? This is part of your ethos via fitness, wellness, and lifestyle programs, I guess. And you're also a public speaker, and you talk about wellness. And it strikes me, one of the mantras that you have is that really we can start at any age and any stage and be the best version of ourselves, right? And really live our life to the full. And you know, you've said that our goals should not be defined by our age, which I really, really love, right?
Yes.
Strikes me too, you know, you're really a champion of having real conversations and making real strategies for change and, you know, adopting sort of practical mindsets, but also looking at body, spirit, mind connection to do that. And we are going to talk about that and how you do that. But I would like to start, Bobby, with you, because, you know, as we've touched on, so much of what you bring to your clients and to the wider world via, you know, your online virtual classes and so forth and programs, it's really been built on your own experiences and the shifts you've made in your life at different points. So I'd love for you to share a little bit, you know, the story of Bobby, right?
Okay.
So if we go back 25 years, you know, and if I may, you're 65 today. I mean, honestly, rock star that you are.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, you were in your 40s, you were married, you had children, you did exercise every day, you know, or regularly, you know, you were into your fitness, and you were also dealing with the challenges that often come upon us in life, right? With relationships, with kids, with going through the midpoint of life, which really is a phenomenon. Take me back to that time and how you were feeling.
Yes. Well, I went through menopause at, you know, a little bit earlier age than most people, like about age 44. I remember waking up one day thinking, wow, I feel like depressed. And I don't usually, you know, it's beyond the period, you know, just like your blues you have. I thought, this is a little bit different. So I went into the doctor, and yes, I was in perimenopause. So I was relieved because I was like, oh, thank goodness, you know, there's a reason for it. So my body's just shifting, hormones are changing, and I started having hot flashes. Also, paralleling with that was just a really difficult, hard marriage that I'd been in for a while. And just, you know, it would take eons to talk about all the little problems and things that happen. And, you know, we hung in there, kept working at it, seeing therapists and stuff. But it was difficult, and it really wreaked havoc on my self-esteem, on my self-image, just on really expressing myself in my life, too. I felt like
it's identity in a way, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because when your focus is constantly on trying to make it work or you know, you're ruminating about what changes can you make? What can you do better? What other therapists can we see? What kind of effect is this going to have on our kids? And going through menopause, I just, you know, they say what happens is, you know, you get the wise woman comes out. And so you no longer, you know that it's just not healthy for you to be living this way, to be having these emotions, this flood of cortisol day after day after day. Thank goodness I had, you know, discovered fitness at the age of 28 after my second child was born. And so I saw the value that going in to teach a class or work with a client had when you're just overcome and overwhelmed with other daily problems. It took your mind off of everything for a while. And then, you know, through the release of the body, working out and exercise, it just really helped. So I think that helped get me through some rough times. But then I finally, you know, getting on it through menopause, I started getting into looking at maybe competing and doing something that was kind of bigger outside myself. I never thought I would have the courage to step on stage in a bikini because I didn't even really think I had a bikini body. You could call a bikini body.
Bobby, I just ask you if we pause there for a minute, because I just want to say to some of our listeners, a lot of your work is around women over 40, but actually what you're sharing and what you're going to share and what we're going to talk about is really for everyone, because we don't want to exclude the boys. And the fact is, boys have their own changes in life. Although I think we women have, every 10 years is a new type of cycle, whatever that cycle is, right? And and they have, you know, slightly different cyclical changes in the midpoint. But also this is for those men who want to understand better for the women in their lives, right? And I think a lot of the things that you talk about, like you know, with the relationship challenges, well, those are things that can hit everybody. And, you know, you got to a point where you were up for a challenge and you were about to, you wanted to take a risk, but how did you understand that that was something that would be good for you?
Well, I really didn't. I had a friend who had just done it and she started telling me how awesome it was and she looked incredible. And so she kind of talked me into doing it. And so that was my big leap. But you know, just kind of going back to like what you're saying about relationships and the male-female too, I think too, just, you know, the other day, I still do a lot of, you know, reading on this subject and stuff. And I'm married to a wonderful man now who is a marriage therapist.
There you go. So everyone now knows. Great.
But, you know, one, I forget who was it I heard, it was in a book. Oh, I think it was in The Big Leap. He says, we are in a, you know, in the marriage relationship, what can happen is you get in a race, who can become the victim? And you don't realize it, but you're actually trying to one-up each other in these arguments. And really, it's just a race towards who has the biggest victim story here. You know, we all just want to be seen and listened to. And understood.
And it's nuanced as well, isn't it? And I think with this whole sort of, you know, sort of narrative around the midpoint of life, and by the way, people have been talking about it for centuries. It's just the midpoint, you know, 500 years ago was earlier, right? It's a big change.
Yes,
people look to the future. They think about how long they're going to live. What does that mean? And you know, we will talk about ageism in society, but there are a lot of big questions that come up. And, you know, in your case, you were there thinking about stepping out and doing something different, but you actually did something about it, which often people do not do. So you know, it's one thing going, I'm, you know, in my 40s, heading towards my 50s, and I want to, you know, get out and be on a stage in a bikini. I mean, how did you even go about doing that? I'm sure you looked amazing, but nevertheless, to have the courage to just do it.
Well, I know. I must have been crazy now that I've
No, I love it.
But no, I think what it was too was that, you know, I had worked out now for, I'd been in the fitness industry really since I was, you know, mid-20s, so 25, 26. And so I had, you know, I was fairly in shape and I'd been around the bodybuilding world. Although I had just, you know, really, I was more of the mindset, oh, I need to do more cardio and lighter weights and I don't want to build these, you know, my mom was always like, don't get too big and bulky now. So
it takes an awful lot of work to get big and bulky, doesn't it, for a woman?
Yeah, it does. Now that really isn't possible for most people, but unless you use enhancements. But So, but this was more like into my 50s and going through that menopause. Like I said, it's, you know, like we all know, it's a huge time of change, and also coincides with, if you have children, they're always leaving the nest at the same time, which makes it even harder. And so your life is just changing. And I just felt deep down inside, like I wanted to do something for me. And so even though I was up against a lot of resistance doing it, it was a big turning point, because I think for the first time in my relationship, I really, not the first time, but it was a big thing to really just put my foot down and say, you know, I'm going to do this anyway. I know that it's not something you know, but it's just for me.
Can you take me to that moment? Because I want to know what you felt. I want to feel what you felt when you got on that stage for the first time. What happened?
Yes, I number one, I was super nervous. Number two, I think that, you just, the benefits that come from that just make you feel not invincible at all, but just like, you know, you set a goal and you stuck to it. And so it builds a lot of faith in yourself and a lot of trust in yourself that you can accomplish something that you really want to do. And, for me, at that time in my life, it just really helped with my confidence. But I think the best feeling was when I decided to do it, when I decided that, you know, I wasn't going to let anything stop me. And that was a first for me, because, you know, as a wife and a mother, you're always doing things for other people, putting other people first. But yes, and so it was a time in life where my kids were gone. I was at this hard pass with my marriage. And so it just really boosted my strengths in myself, I think. So
that is a beautiful thing, right? And it's the kind of self-reaffirmation, because you're doing it for you. And it's not like you just floated in there. I mean, you had to get yourself ready, you had to take the leap, you had to get on that blasted stage, right? Yes. It wasn't like someone did it for you. But so when you took that empowerment that you've given yourself, what then shifted in you? You felt more confident. What happened after that?
Yes. Well, from then on, I think my life totally changed, because it gave me, like I said, more confidence, more faith in myself. And I also was, at the same time, was coming to the realization that if I stayed, it's not a healthy situation for me emotionally, and that I was never going to be able to fully express, you know, my life and who I was, because the situation was just over controlling at the time. I actually decided through, you know, after 30 years, and not all the years were bad, but the latter, you know, half was. And so I decided that this just was not going to be possible for me anymore to stay in this situation. So I was very, very scared always. I mean, I had friends, you know, saying for a long time, you know, hey, this isn't healthy. You know, what are you doing? And so I finally got, you know, the lady balls, I guess, to make that move and do it. And it was like 10 years of really wavering back and forth, you know, land of indecision, no fun place for anybody to be. You know, one foot in and the other dreaming about what my life could be like. And so I decided to go after that. Yeah.
So because that is a process, right? And, you know, there's a grieving and there's all sorts of adjustments to transition, right? Which takes time. But how did you go from that? You know, what was the road to, you know, building the business out to something mega, you know, you really finding and settling into your mission of empowering women to get into the best shape of their lives and stay that way, crucially, right? You know, being strong and energetic and happy in themselves. How did you get onto that?
I think first, it's just taking the steps there. It's just putting in motion physically. You know, you want something emotionally and you're drawn to it. But it's just stepping into that empowerment. And then all of a sudden, you know, things just open up for you. So like your friends are all, you know, doing the same thing, or, you know, the people that you meet, your group, I invested money. I invested a lot of time learning and, you know, formulating what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be next.
And on that point, Bobby, if I can just interject, I mean, it strikes me, you know, two things I say to myself and to others. You know, you have to pay to play, don't you?
Yes.
And I also think when you pay attention. And you give value to something. And I think often, and it's a grotesque generalization, but I'm going to make it, often we women don't invest in ourselves because we're paying for so many other things, right? Or we're worried about our kids and their education or, you know, and it's not because we're ignoring ourselves. We just don't always think about investing in ourselves. You know, Warren Buffett always says the most important investment you'll ever make is in yourself. Right.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have to invest in ourselves. I also think at any stage in life so that we can move forward, that we can grow, that we can develop, that we can really live the life we're meant to have. And what sort of learning were you doing? Like, what sort of things were you doing at that time?
So I after I went through my divorce, I'd already gotten my yoga, first yoga certification, which is called yoga, you know, 200 hour. And I'm not a big yogi. I'm mostly a weights girl, you know, resistance training. And, but I loved the yoga for the healing aspect, for the mental aspect.
It's incredible.
Yes. So incredible. And I was very, very fortunate at the time. I had money. I could invest in some of the best yoga, one of the best yoga teachers, you know, so I went into a 6-month course and it was yoga psychology for my yoga 300 hour. And I decided I was going to do that as my therapy for getting over, you know.
Brilliant.
And it really, really helped. It set me on a great path for meditating and just, you know, having a lot more awareness really of what I was feeling. And I would have all kinds of epiphanies during those times in yoga where I realized, you know, just things that I need to realize for my own healing, things maybe that I was holding on to that would go into a muscle or, you know, into the body. And so it was really a big aha moment time for me. So
probably also working even more on the intuition, which is, you know, very much part of, you know, the yoga life, isn't it? Just sitting with your intuition, working on your third eye, all these different things where we plug in a bit more fundamentally to the inside and the outside, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I love yoga too, just, you know, for, it's really an art, body wise, you know, and so just the structures of the posing. And I felt that all of that was going to really work towards making me better at the craft I was doing, which was personal training. So body worker for other people and myself, and it really did. So,
and you know, I think you know, touching on your experience, which is, you know, unique to you, but one that is, you know, many people got their own version of that story, right? They may not have gone on to do as many interesting things as you, or kind of really find a mega highway forward. But, you know, these hormone changes, they can happen for many years, can't they? You know, people, you know, young women have hormone changes in their teens, and then in their 20s it's different. And then when they have children, and, you know, I remember seeing a doctor who said, well, you know, the menopause can go on for 10 years. I'm like, oh my God. Like, that is not helpful.
I know. I have friends that are still going through it.
Right? And it can create all sorts of imbalances and feeling basically awful.
Not good for
In many cases. And, you know, add to that what you said about life changing and life going forward. And, you know, for those of us who have children growing up, and for those that don't, seeing other people's children growing up and thinking, what does the world look like? Because everyone is getting older, right?
Yes.
And I think it is a time of how people, you know, reevaluate themselves, you know, who they are, what they do, and so forth. And I think, you know, on the aging component, I'd love to sort of hear about your work with, you know, your clients and the people who, you know, engage with you sort of globally on a wider platform basis, because ageism is very prevalent in our society, right? And you are a real pioneer for, let's just be the best we can be. Let's not make age an obstacle to our lives, right?
Right. And that is being proven by so many women today, you know, on social media. I can name off a few that, you know, didn't even start working out until they were in their 70s. And 5 years later, they're looking amazing. So, you know, and just, and getting off all kinds of medications and, you know, just living healthier lives. And so, and just with the knowledge that is coming to us today too about insulin and weight loss resistance, all these keywords you hear thrown out there, you know, really they're understanding so much more about the body, but it always comes back down to, you know, working out and eating healthy is what is going to extend our lives.
So I would love to come on to that, but on this sort of older, you know, stigmatized view of women, I mean, why can't women be gorgeous and hot at whatever age, right? And,
oh, yes.
You know, when I was hearing about you before we met, you know, I just love the fact that you said, you know, you wanted to be a model and you got to your 50s and you became a model. And it reminded me, I lived in Milan when I was quite young. I hadn't, before I went to university, and I was in my late teens. And I remember one day walking down the road and there were these two exquisite older Italian ladies sitting on a terrace having a little espresso, no? And, you know, like a beautifully coiffed and beautiful little bags and all looking fabulous. And I'm like, I want to be like them when I'm 70, and I want to go and be a model for Gucci when I'm 75, you know? And like, why should there be barriers? Even Martha Stewart the other day on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and I'm sure you followed that story, but, you know, some people made terrible comments about her. And I just thought, my gosh, it's terrible. Like, support the sisterhood, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But whenever you're first, you know, you're going to get that. You're going to get the bashers. Yeah.
Do you think things have changed much? I mean, if you think of even the past 10 years, you know, with what you're doing, do you think that things that we are being more supportive and less biased as a society in the developed world or not?
As far as aging goes?
Yes.
I think in certain countries, they're better. Yeah. At it, more supportive. I don't think the United States is yet. It's getting better. And I think this new movement with the women staying in shape longer, women looking better longer. I mean, people now that are 50 look like they're 35, you know? So in 50, it's like you can still, you know, you still got the good stuff going. So, you know, it's truly the new, you know, 40.
I think that's right. And you've got more wisdom, right? But what is your personal mantra now in your life?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I think I really am just trying to really narrow in kind of my focus about what I want to say to people. And I feel like right now, personally, I'm in a stage of reinvention again.
Oh my God, and I love it. Tell me everything. I want to hear everything.
Well, I don't know yet. I'm just at the beginning of it. But I felt more of a need, like I noticed when I feel that more of a need to kind of pull back and be a little more quiet within myself, that is the stage of, and I'm actually turning 65 this summer. And so that was like,
oh my God,
that's
amazing.
Like a big one to get my head around. And so I'm just really focusing on, you know, what's important to me in life, you know, realizing, wow, life is passing by. I'm 65, you know, 5 years, I'm going to be 70. And so how do I want my life to look then? And so I feel like do I want to keep competing? Do I want to, you know, turn the corner into something else? So kind of looking at that. So I have some ideas, but.
So Bobby, on that, because I think our viewers and listeners would love to know, I mean, obviously we'll want to hear more in due course. So you have to keep us posted. But
yeah.
But what is your process? You know, because, you know, you're clearly highly intuitive and highly in tune with yourself.
Oh,
and therefore
you
can listen and you hear these voices and you won't just brush them away, you know. And I have some of my guests, I have one particular guest who talks a lot and writes a lot about intuition. And she always says them, this is Jill, sending you masses of love, Miss Jill. And, you know, just it gets so loud, the voice of intuition, that you can't ignore it anymore. What are you doing, even in an unstructured way, to listen to those things that are coming to you that are pushing you towards change?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to give myself like more time, more downtime. But the funny thing is like I'm busier than ever.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So, you know, I really have to watch to make sure that I don't start getting, you know, that burnout. Where you're like, not, you know, I have to pull back and fill up my cup through, you know, just quiet time or reading a self-help book, meditation, studying things that I love, like nutrition, supplements, that type of thing. But so really, it's just pulling back, but listening to that voice. And if you don't listen to it, then your body tells you. So it responds by feeling tired or just that lagging feeling, like I just can't give anymore. So it's time to pull back and take a vacation, you know, go somewhere, you know, tune out social media, tune out, you know, the phones.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Even just like a mini break, right?
Yes. I need that a lot more right now in my life. So, and I know it's because it's like a pulling back. It's like it's like an age thing. I feel like each kind of couple years you get like, maybe you hit a little bit of a bump, like, oh my goodness, I'm getting so much older. And so then you kind of grieve a little bit and then you're like, I'm fine. I'm fine. In fact, I'm better than fine. I love life, you know, right now.
Well, I can tell. And tell me, Bobby, you know, what are the processes you use to help, you know, your clients, whether they're, you know, tuning in virtually from all over the world, whether they're indirect with you? Like, can you share with us some of the kind of starting points that you use to get people on their new track and in their new direction?
Yeah, I think the number one thing for people that first want to get in shape is just, you know, the belief that you can actually do it, especially at an older age.
Amazing. Just like have the mindset, right? It's all about mindset. That's such a brilliant point.
Yes. I mean, that is huge. And so when I coach people, the feedback I've gotten from them is when they finally hit their goal is, you told me to keep going. You told me to be patient. You told me to hang in there. And you were right. And I did. So because it's just, you know, we want things to happen fast. That's just human nature. And it's really a patience game. Patience is the name of the game when you are transforming. Especially, you know, I think as you get older, you know, the body's going to, there's maybe a few more things to figure out, you know, hormone wise. Or it might, you know, I always tell people when I was, you know, 18, I could like starve myself for a day and you lose 5 pounds. But then we know that's not good, but the body doesn't work that way, you know, so.
And tell me a bit about, you know, I think obviously strength training is so fundamental, but tell me a little bit about your approach to that and why you work with clients on that and so forth.
Yeah. Oh, and also I have to say, I did another life-changing thing for me too, before I go into that, was that I did get on bioidentical hormones. So that really helped too, I think, because then I wasn't sleeping. I was having, you know, leaky bladder, all kinds of problems, you know, and so that, for me, worked really well.
Fantastic.
And so, yeah, it doesn't work for everybody and not everybody can have it, but it is an avenue. And now they're doing amazing things with hormones too. Yeah. So it's definitely a key point, you know, as we're living longer, we have to replace those things. So that made a huge difference. But no, I just, you know, it's very, very basic. Just, you know, you're lifting weights, progressive overload, trying to get your muscles to grow. Which takes a while, but you know, within a couple weeks, you can usually tell a difference. And I think too, just feeling like looking at yourself and seeing that it's making a difference goes a long way too. Like your muscles will look more toned. Yeah, you may not, you know, be where you want to be in just a couple weeks, but it is encouraging to see changes. And then the biggest part for women, if they want to lose weight, get in shape, is the food. That is the key. And, you know, getting people to, unless they're vegan or vegetarian, you know, to eat enough protein, you know, if you're plant-based, then, you know, it's a little bit different, but not impossible. So it just makes it a little bit harder to grow muscle, but there's a lot of vegan athletes out there, so that look fantastic and grow muscle. So
totally. And one of my former guests, whom you would absolutely love, is an amazing woman who was who's vegan and who Fiona, who basically runs ultra marathons.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that. I would love to listen to that.
And
amazing.
And she's been a vegan her whole life. You know, she's a real proponent that you can be, be an athlete or be very fit, not necessarily running, you know, extreme marathons, but on a vegan diet, if you do it properly, you know?
I think that we're all kind of different. I mean, I know very little about this, but blood types, you know, I think there's certain people that just do really well with vegan and certain people that have to have a little bit more protein, but you know, it's all I think you just have to follow your mindset on that for sure.
Oh, totally. And in the case of Fiona Oakes, she's called, you know, it was literally from childhood. She loved animals and never wanted to have any meat.
I have like that too.
Right. Yeah. And it was a completely natural thing for her. But it is very interesting. I mean, clearly that, you know, it's the mindset, it's the exercise, it's the food. You talk about food as medicine, right? Like all these things are additive and can take us forward. So basically, Bobby, what, you know, you're working out the next thing. What keeps you motivated? You spend a lot of time giving to others, motivating, pushing them forward in a powerful way. What keeps you going ahead?
Yeah, I think really it's that. It's, you know, working with people. Just also, you know, I've had my own issues with like how I see myself, you know, so I've had to work on a lot of that stuff and still do today. Whereas, you know, I think the scale says a certain number, you know, that's, you know, I've gotten over that one. And just, you know, like letting, especially when you start competing and then you get really shredded, this happens to a lot of women. And then when you gain back the 10 pounds, you know, hopefully you're going to find your water level or your homeostasis with that, because staying in a competitor's body all year long is not realistic.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
It feels really good while you're there, but, you know, it's not the best and the healthiest to stay that shredded and lean, I don't think, for that long, nor is it any fun. You really can't enjoy life. So finding that happy medium is what I like to help people do, you know, lifestyle. Finding that medium where you feel good in your clothes, you feel good when you go out, you feel sexy with your husband, you know, or boyfriend, lover, whatever, and you're, you know, just feel good in your own body has always been important to me too. And so I've kind of let that be my carrot in front. You know, I want to enjoy life. I want to enjoy looking good. I want to enjoy my food, but I also want to be able to be okay in my clothes. So.
Oh, no, 100%. And you also met your husband.
Yes. Yeah.
How did you guys meet? I mean, this was that yes. must have been such a discovery. You know, some years later, you come through the previous relationship, you're moving forward, and you meet your wonderful husband.
Yes. Yeah. We met on Match. And I had already done, I feel like, so much kind of grieving for the last 10 years in my marriage. And so I was ready to date when I got out. And I was ready to, you know, just meet somebody else. I had dreamed about meeting somebody else that I could just be madly in love with. And, you know, and so we got lucky, you know, and I think, like my husband said, you know, when you're younger, it's kind of like your opposite you get attracted to. But when you're older, it's like, hey, we're a lot alike. We're enough different.
That's so true, isn't it?
Alike. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, you met one another because you deserve to meet one another. I don't believe there are any coincidences in life.
No, it was fate.
Fate, 100%. Yes. So, Bobby, I ask all my guests, you give a lot of advice to a lot of people and you empower many. What's the best piece of advice you've been given?
Myself? Oh, well, that's a great question. I'd have to say, though, I think my husband has helped me with a lot of advice and just the way that he has taught himself to think about things. Let's see. He's been so much. And now it's just so much a part of me. It's hard for me to differentiate. But, you know, if I were to look back on how I used to think, I think I used to be a lot more fear-based, which, you know, causes you to be more future-based. And so
true that.
When I get stressed out, I think I just try and be more think about what can I control today, and how can I make this moment better? You know, what's really important to me today? So just focusing in on those things and reminding myself, nobody's sick right now. Nobody's, you know, in a traumatic place. Yeah, life's not perfect. Family's not perfect. We all have our stuff, you know, but for the most part, things are good.
And also, you know, it reminds me on that note to conclude, like one of my, I go to yoga every morning, and one of my yoga teachers one day in class said, peace is one breath away. You know, you just have to get through that next breath, right?
Yes. Yeah.
To recalibrate and get on the next step. Bobbi, it's been amazing to have you as a guest. Thank you for joining us. And yes. I cannot wait to the next adventure and the next act.
Yes. Yes.
On the Bobbi journey. I can't wait.
Yes. Me too. Well, we'll stay in touch.
100%. Thank you, Bobbi.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Dee here. I hope you enjoyed this incredible episode with my amazing guest. I hope you're enjoying the series. We'd love to hear from you, so do DM me and tell me all your stories of second carving. Lots of love.